IGA's 10 Days of Christmas, December 22. Country Chef Pavlova 500 gram, $4.99 each. And Cadbury Favourites 353 to 375 gram varieties, $6 each. December 22 only at IGA.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for the opportunity. I take exception to some of the material in his book, what he has failed to understand and explain and given an appraisal of is the wealth of evidence about military law from 1902 and the evidence that these men, Lieutenants Morant, Hancock and Whitten, were not tried according to military law of 1902. So he has simply focused on his quote-unquote, the Morant and Hancock got what they deserved. That, Tony, is an appalling lack of understanding to simply say these men were executed for what they did. The case I've mounted in the last 10 years quite successfully is not about excusing shooting prisoners. What my case is about, on behalf of the descendants of these men who are seeking justice all these years later, is that one error, one abuse, one criminal activity of shooting prisoners is not excused or is not mitigated by failing to try these men according and sentence these men according to law. And I'm sorry to say that Peter's book is a great read, a regurgitation of research that's been done by other writers over, and historians, noted historians over a long period of time. What he's missing, he's missed the train on really explaining to the public the intricacies of military law and due process that should have been applied at the time by the British.
So, James, and, just for those that are listening, yep. is there then a distinction between military law of that era and law?
Military law at that time, you've got to remember, and people have to remember, this is 50 years before the Nuremberg trials in Germany. So the law, the British law that these men operated under in working for the British military and fighting the Boers was of 1902. Now, I salute the British at the time because they had a wonderful legal system under military law. And there were offences about shooting, about war crimes. But there was also law about the military extracting reprisal against the Boers for the Boers doing what they did to British soldiers, which was executing them and blowing up their trains and pilfering their uniforms and equipment. And Lord Kitchener, the military commander, was very, very clear about how to fight a guerrilla war. Fighting the guerrilla war for Kitchener was about reprisal. And I have researched, and I know Peter says there's no evidence of orders. I have evidence of orders from British permanent officers who had significant control over volunteers, Australian volunteers and the Bushveld Carbineers, Morant, Hancock and Whitten and others, about extracting and following orders, but extracting reprisal for outrages committed by Boer guerrillas. And I think I respect Peter's view. He's got a view. That's fine. And he puts together a good book that's an adventure to read over Christmas. But I'm into the business of legal review and understanding the laws of the time. These men were not tried according to law, and certainly they were not sentenced. One of the things that Peter has talked about was that these men had no right of appeal. Well, I'm sorry to say, they did have a right of appeal under common law and military law, and their opportunity to make that appeal. It was denied. And I've written a book about the lawyer who defended these men, Major Thomas from Tenterfield in New South Wales. the evidence from Major Thomas and Lieutenant Whitten, who survived and wasn't executed, the evidence is overwhelming. These men were not given the opportunity. They asked for it, and they were kept in solitary confinement until, with 18 hours notice, that they would be executed. And Major Thomas tried desperately to use the telegraph to contact the Australian government. In fact, a lot of people don't realise that the Australian government did not know that these three Australians were tried and executed in secrecy, and the Prime Minister at the time didn't find out until April 1902.
Well after the event.
Well after the event, there were protests. A lot of people also don't know that Lieutenant Whitten, who was sent off to Britain to serve life imprisonment and was released after 4 years, his advocate, Sir Isaac Isaacs, noted jurist who later became Chief Justice of the High Court and also Australia's first Governor-General.
Governor-General.
He advocated for Lieutenant Whitten, and there was a petition. I have a copy of the petition. It went around Australia. It was signed by 80,000 Australians protesting about the treatment of these men and Whitten, and finally, with the assistance of Winston Churchill, MP at the time, Whitten was released from prison after 4 years. These are the things that have been glossed over by so-called historians, and I'm sorry to say that Peter has again missed an opportunity. He hasn't analysed a lot of the writings from Lieutenant Whitten in his book Scapegoats of the Empire. And in the current era, since I've been running this case, the depth of comment from noted Australian senior legal counsel, Sir Lawrence Street, QC, former Chief Justice of New South Wales.
Great name.
Tim Fisher, former Deputy Prime Minister.
Geoffrey Robinson.
Tony Smith, MP, who's now the Speaker of the House of Representatives. But probably one of the most interesting assessments comes from Geoffrey Robinson, QC, human rights judge and author. All these people I interviewed back in 2013 for a Foxtel documentary, they are all on the public record. Robert McClellan, former Labor Attorney General.
Yeah, gee, there's a name. James, we're going to run out of time, except to say, have you had the opportunity, would you have the opportunity, should you have the opportunity, to sit down and go, head-to-head with Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Love to. And I'd say to Peter, I put out that offer. Really, it's not about me. It's about the descendants of these men who want to see some justice done. And, you know, when you look at the motion that went into the House of Representatives in 2018 from Scott Bulschultz, MP from Queensland, the motion gave the descendants an apology that these men weren't tried according to law. And there are other issues that have cropped up since. And I would like an opportunity to speak to Peter, and who knows, he might put out a second version of his book.
He may well be.
And acknowledge what I'm talking about. But I'd be happy to talk to him.
Well, one day we'll see if we can make that happen, if it doesn't happen early in the new year. What about Ned Kelly? Should we start on Ned Kelly as well, or we just let that one go?
Yeah, I'm not a big Ned Kelly. My focus and my 10 years of effort is about the descendants of these men, and I'm determined to see it through. I'm committed to it, and I've got great support from a lot of people to see this case to a conclusion. And look, again, I emphasise, I am not about excusing murder. I am everything about making sure then and now that military personnel have all their rights respected, and they are tried and sentenced according to law.
In the current media cycle then, James,
It's a media cycle that is so relevant in the current era with the war crimes investigation. I would have thought people would be celebrating the Morant matter, not because of the conviction for murder, but about ensuring that all military personnel are treated with a presumption of innocence and are tried according to law. This is what separates us, Tony, from the regimes that are despotic and have no independent judicial system. We have a judicial system going back hundreds of years, and that's what I'm about protecting and respecting. And I hope that Peter and I can have an interesting discussion about the issues that I've talked about to you tonight.
James, well done. Thank you for spending a bit of time with us late on 6PR, and thank you for doing that for us. And Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Tony, and Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
IGA's 10 Days of Christmas, December 22. Country Chef Pavlova 500 gram, $4.99 each. And Cadbury Favourites 353 to 375 gram varieties, $6 each. December 22 only at IGA.